This is Scripture on Creation with Dr. Ben Scripture, discussing creation, science, and the Bible. With a Master of Divinity, a PhD in biochemistry, and over 25 years of experience studying and teaching creation, he is well equipped to address questions about creation with sound, biblical, and scientific answers. If you have a question for Dr. Scripture, contact information follows the program. And now, here is Scripture on Creation.
Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, in our last program, you were sharing some correspondence you've been having with a creationist who believes in an old universe, but we did not have enough time to consider everything you wanted to talk about concerning the exchanges the two of you had.
Mm-hmm.
Friendly exchanges, I should add.
Yeah, Scott, it has been very amicable. And the gentleman's name is Donald, and he's very convinced of the validity of the interpretations of the evidence supporting an ancient universe made by astronomers and, in particular, astrophysicists. So, in response to a question I asked about the relationship between an expanding universe and time dilation, Donald wrote quite a long letter back, and I just want you to read parts of it that specifically address the issue of the relationship between the size of the universe and the age of the universe, Scott.
Okay, so Donald wrote, "First, let me state that I find your faithfulness to God to be commendable."
Well, yeah, again, the way we've been corresponding has been like that. It's been great.
Good. Reading again from the letter, "We come at these questions of the reality of the world from two different sets of assumptions. I believe both the Bible and science are true when each is properly heard. The Bible was transcribed into another language to non-technically skilled people, mostly thousands of years ago. You and I have the backgrounds of reading the King James in English. It is reasonable to expect that the meaning is blurred in places."
Okay, well, let me respond to a couple of things in that first part of his letter. And in particular, "I believe both the Bible and science are true when each is properly heard," he says. Well, I certainly believe science is true when it's correct. I mean, I spent 7 years or more just researching out, trying to find truth in science. So I certainly believe science is true, but I believe it's true when it is correct, and it often can be wrong. I question science when the interpretations of evidence are based on assumptions that are questionable and cannot even be proven, especially when those interpretations contradict what the Bible seems to clearly state. And I do not think the solution to such contradictions is to say, well, we just don't understand what the Bible means. I, in fact, do not think it is reasonable, quote unquote, to expect that the meaning is blurred in places. I think it is simply expedient to say that for those who have a problem with what the Bible pretty clearly says.
Well, then Donald addresses your questions about the age and size of the universe. But, Dr. Scripture, some listening to the program today may not know what you said, so perhaps you should repeat the question you asked Donald.
Well, that's right. We've considered that last time. So here's my question that I asked him. How is it that astrophysicists are telling us that the universe is over 150 billion light years across and counting, which would mean electromagnetic radiation from at least 75 billion light years away has reached us in less than 15 billion years? Their answer is the expanding universe causes this phenomenon. Well, how is that any different an explanation, aside from the magnitude of the time distortion, than accepting the explanation revealed over and over again in God's Word, that He stretched the heavens?
Sounds like an expanding universe to me. Okay, so this is how Donald responded. Quote, "In dealing with your example, you mistake what astrophysicists say. The conclusion that there are stars in existence that are more than 75 billion light years away does not suggest that light from those stars has reached us. Someone is leading you astray by drawing that conclusion. No astrophysicist would make that conclusion. You need to find a physicist you can trust to evaluate such assertions." "I believe God had the power to create the earth and the universe in 6 days or 14 billion years. The question is not what God can do, but what he did do."
I agree with that.
"Did he leave evidence as to which path he chose? I believe God left that evidence in the world and universe he left us. The evidence we have from science makes it clear that God chose to use billions of years. The data all fit together that the age of the earth is measured in billions of years, not in tens of thousands of years. Close quote.
Okay, so it's obvious from what he says, quote, the evidence we have from science makes it clear that God chose to use billions of years, unquote, that he's convinced that the evidence is clear. However, I and many other scientists and believers do not think it's so clear. In fact, much of what astrophysicists assume and then say the measurements mean are very suspect, and in some cases, I would say, are wild shots in the dark.
Well, finally, I'll read the rest of his letter.
Okay.
Quote, if God did choose to make the earth in a short time, why has he left all the evidence for a long creation? If the creation time was short, then all of the long creation data that scientists are gathering is false. Who could have manipulated and left all the wrong data but God himself? What other option is there than believing that the data is wrong or God has chosen to deceive us? As a scientist, it is clear to me that the data from the universe is consistent only with a long creation, end quote.
And so again, all I can say to that is there is potentially a huge difference between data and the interpretation of that data. When he says, quote, if the creation time was short, then all of the long creation data that scientists are gathering is false, I would counter with this. The data that the scientists are gathering is incorrectly interpreted. And so it's obvious Donald is convinced they've got it right, but I and many other creationists do not have the confidence in their interpretations and their measurements that he has. I question those interpretations that the astrophysicists make, and I think with good reason. Scott, have you ever heard of dark matter and dark energy?
I've heard of it. I've never fully understood what it is, and I've always associated it with science fiction.
Well, it's not science fiction, at least by the normal definition. I thought I knew a little bit about it, and what I knew was that it was problematic for the discipline of astrophysics. But I figured I'd try and learn more about it, because I figured it might shed some light on the discussion Donald and I were having. So I asked good old Google the question, quote, what is dark energy or matter, unquote. And I found this very informative article amongst a whole bunch of other things. But this article is entitled Dark Energy, Dark Matter. And given the source, I think that we should all understand this is with the highest authority, this explanation of what dark energy and dark matter is. It was from science.nasa.org. /astrophysics. So this is right off of the NASA website.
This is not a creationist website.
No. Or some kook, you know, that doesn't really know what they're talking about. And to answer the question, what is dark energy? This article first explained why the concept was necessary in the first place. Its existence is necessary because of that phenomena we've been discussing, the expanding universe. And here's what it said. Quote, at about 7.5 billion years ago, it appears that objects in the universe began flying apart at a faster rate. Astronomers theorize that the faster expansion rate is due to a mysterious dark force that is pulling galaxies apart.
A mysterious dark force. So that's the dark energy?
Exactly. So the article then goes on to explain what dark energy is. Quote, in the early 1990s, one thing was fairly certain about the expansion of the universe. It might have enough energy density to stop its expansion and recollapse. It might have so little energy density that it would never stop expanding, but gravity was certain to slow the expansion down as time went on. Granted, the slowing had not been observed, but theoretically, the universe had to slow. The universe is full of matter, and the attractive force of gravity pulls all matter together. Then came 1998 and the Hubble Space Telescope observations that showed that a long time ago, the universe was actually expanding more slowly than it is today. So the expansion of the universe has not been slowing due to gravity, as everyone thought. It has been accelerating. No one expected this. No one knew how to explain it, but something was causing it. Eventually, theorists came up with three sorts of explanations. First, maybe it was a result of a long-discarded version of Einstein's theory of gravity, one that contained what was called a cosmological constant. Secondly, maybe there was some strange kind of energy fluid that filled space. Or thirdly, maybe there is something wrong with Einstein's theory of gravity, and a new theory could include some kind of field that creates this cosmic acceleration. Theorists still don't know what the correct explanation is, but they have given the solution a name. Guess what it is, Scott?
Dark energy?
It is called dark energy. Right. So, continuing from the article, more is unknown than is known. Interesting. We know how much dark energy there is because we know how it affects the universe's expansion. Other than that, it is a complete mystery. It turns out that roughly 68% of the universe is dark energy. Dark matter makes up about 27%. The rest, everything on Earth, everything ever observed with all our instruments, all normal matter, adds up to less than 5% of the universe. Huh. Then they go on to admit, come to think of it, maybe it shouldn't be called normal matter at all, since it is such a small fraction of the universe.
Wait. So it sounds like they're saying 95% of the universe is unaccounted for, or at least we don't really know where it is.
Or what it is. That's exactly right. So you can see why I think it is not unreasonable to question the interpretation of the various observations the astrophysicists make of the universe. I mean, 95% of it is missing. They just say it's all a mystery. And yet we're supposed to accept all the interpretations they make based on the assumptions and the theories that can only account for 5% of the universe. I don't think it's unreasonable to simply question everything that they come up with. So then I'll read a little bit more. The article goes on to discuss possible reasons for our lack of ability to find or explain what dark energy actually is. Quote, one explanation for dark energy is that it is a property of space. Albert Einstein was the first person to realize that empty space is not nothing. Space has amazing property, many of which are just beginning to be understood. It then goes on to talk a little bit more about this idea of space, quote-unquote empty space, not really being empty at all, but it's got this weird energy in it, and that weird energy would have to be this dark energy, which they can't account for. But another explanation here is the one that really amazes me. Here we go. Quote, another possibility is that Einstein's theory of gravity is not correct. That would not only affect the expansion of the universe, but it would also affect the way that normal matter in galaxies and clusters of galaxies behaved. This fact would provide a way to decide if the solution to the dark energy problem is a new gravity theory or not. Now listen to what they're talking about. They're talking about just completely dumping Einstein's theory of gravity. What would that do to all these interpretations of the measurements they're making? And so, again, it is not unreasonable, in my mind, to question the interpretations of the data that they're coming up with. And so, Scott, you know, to be as certain, and I'm not trying to pick on Donald, there are a host of creationists out there that believe in all these measurements. I find it somewhat incredulous that they are so certain of those measurements and then question the clear statements in the Bible. And in my mind, you know what it fits with? Romans 1:22. Over and over again, this verse goes through my mind. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.
Don't touch that dial, because here's something that Dr. Scripture does say.
I'd like to remind those who listen to the Scripture on Creation program on the GNN Radio Network that I am also available to conduct Scripture on Creation meetings in your community, for your church, school, or other organization. I'd be very pleased to hear from you. Simply contact me by phone or email.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the program. If you have comments or questions you'd like Dr. Scripture to address, you can contact him by sending an email to scripture@scriptureoncreation.org or call 574-551-1524. You can learn more about our ministry on the website scriptureoncreation.org. And you can also listen to past episodes of the program archived on the website or by subscribing to the free podcast.